Welcome to the First Intuition Podcast. In this episode, we consider transferable skills. What are they in the world of accounting and finance? And why is it important you identify them within your job role? As always, we've recorded the session in front of a live Zoom audience. And if you'd like to participate in a future session, look at the show note for details. Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the First Intuition Podcast. It's a Wednesday again, and we're recording this episode in front of our live Zoom audience. Those guys can chip into the chat box as we're going through, and we really like to share your engagement with the podcast listeners as well. This week, I am joined again by my good friend, colleague, fellow tutor director at FI, Amy Forrest. Good evening, Amy. How's the week been for you?
Hello. Good evening, everybody. You know, I've had a really good week. I think I've said that every week that I've been on the podcast, actually. But I've had one of those weeks this week, and I sound a bit showy-offy, but I've actually ticked things off my to-do list. You know, come to the end of a lot of jobs, and it's just lovely, that feeling of being able to kind of come to the end of something and tick it off. So I'm having a really, really good week, actually. But of course, looking forward to the long weekend.
Looking forward to the long weekend. And a little birdie told me you might be having some time off next week for annual leave, which is well deserved, Amy. So what a lovely feeling if you can get to the end of this week with that to-do list ticked off and you can go away and really just chill out.
That's it. That's it. No, I'm very much looking forward to it.
Life continues at First Intuition for our students, both in their studies, but also in their workplace. I know a number of students are working through a transition, maybe back to more working within an office. We've certainly heard the term hybrid working being bandied around a lot. And I know, Amy, you've been kind of leading on some consultation with our FI staff as well about when we are allowed to go back into the centre, how many people are going to be working in there full time and what tasks are maybe going to be done there or still being able to be done remotely. We're watching this space with regards to return to classroom. I can see a comment in the chat box. The new refit in our Cambridge Centre is happening this week. I doubt the guys are in doing it as we speak. They might be working late on a Wednesday evening. But Amy, you had the lovely job of popping in this morning just to see how things were going.
I did, yes. And it was so exciting to see the classrooms kind of having that refresh, getting some new lights in and just having a lick of paint, really. It was really nice. It made me so excited for the second half of the year when we're hopefully coming back into centre, running those classes. Just made me really look forward to it, actually. I really miss being in that classroom to teach.
Definitely. So this evening, as always on the FI podcast, we've picked a bit of a topic. Tonight's topic, we're going to be talking about the term, and it's a term I've heard a lot in recent weeks particularly. And sometimes you just hear something and you kind of prick your ears up on the third or fourth time you've heard it. I've heard the term transferable skills used a lot in different contexts, but I thought this evening it would be interesting if we could share our thoughts and maybe get the insight of some of our live audience via the chat box on transferable skills, particularly in our world of finance and accountancy. So, Amy, when I say the term transferable skills, what's the first thing that pops into your head?
For me, when I think about transferable skills, and I think when we get on to talking about skills, there's a lot of jargon involved, isn't there? As soon as you start talking about skills and so on, it's a lot of jargon. And I think for me, transferable skills is we've learned something, we can do something that we can apply to multiple different situations, scenarios, job roles, and so on and so forth. So those skills that aren't just related purely to doing accountancy. So for example, I often think about doing something like a bank reconciliation, which as in accountants, we often all get involved in doing a bank reconciliation. It's often one of the first things we do. But when I take a step back from that, what have we actually learned? We've learned probably the skill of being able to reconcile something. And actually, could we transfer that to other areas of accountancy? So because I can do a bank reconciliation, I could probably go and do a supplier reconciliation or a customer reconciliation. So for me, there's that element of, can I undertake different tasks within a similar job role? But beyond that, I think about a bank reconciliation. I think about, that doesn't just mean I've learned how to do a reconciliation. It means to me as well, what else have I learned? You know, I've learned to have attention to detail. I've had to learn how to present that information. I've had to learn about communication. And so for me, transferable skills means applying something to different areas of your life, different job roles, different tasks, and so on and so forth. And it's just one of those things that is just critical and there all the time in accountancy. All the time we use these transferable skills. And it's just such an important thing. What about you though, Ben? What does it mean to you?
Echo everything you've just said there, Amy. I think these are the things that potentially we can dismiss quite easily and say, oh, it's just this, it's just that, because these are more natural things. We can all boast about being able to do tax computations at a high level, or understanding consolidated group accounts, or being able to do some of the sophisticated management techniques that we learn in the technical side of our qualification world. But increasingly, those skills, important as they are being practically taken away from our day to day, because they're the sorts of things that computer programs and clever data analytics and software and AI can actually do much quicker and more accurately than us. Increasingly, the things that really stand us apart are transferable, that the skills that actually we bring to the job role we do, to the life that we lead. I think they're very important when we are applying for job roles, when we are thinking about promotion, when we are talking in an appraisal context, maybe at work. I've actually been involved in something. I know you did a session for this as well last week, Amy, our First Intuition Accounting Academy. And I'm running a session tomorrow evening for young people. We aim this at school age, so kind of final years at school, years 11, 12, 13, 14 in school year terms. But these are kind of 15 through to 18 year olds. And we're talking about what it might mean for them to have a career, a first job in the world of accounting and finance. And one of the sessions that we're running, I'm hosting it tomorrow night, is on what sorts of things would you want to put on a CV? What sorts of things would you want to get across in interview? And I think these skills are things that I'm really going to have to encourage that age group to think about, because they are skills they will have, but they tend to hide away. I heard a really interesting comment on the radio yesterday when I was out for my daily walk and I had my earphones in, and they were talking, apologies if any listeners are American, but they were saying in America, it's very natural to be very bold and upfront about your skill set. They like to, I don't want to use the word brag, but that's part of their culture. And people will tell you all of the great stuff they're involved with. And I think maybe British, European, we're a little bit more reserved with that. We tend to kind of step back rather than that positive step forward. And something I'm going to be working with this group of youngsters on tomorrow is to try and get them to be more positive and emphasize these transferable skills they've got. I know it's something that is very much part of the apprenticeship schemes, Amy, and I couldn't think of having a better co-host for this session as someone that was very instrumental in launching and successfully then setting up and continuing to run our apprenticeships that we offer at the various standardized levels on the government standardization of apprenticeships. So What's your view of those skills within an apprenticeship arena?
Yeah, that actually, it becomes really interesting with apprenticeships, because for me, that was the government really confirming the importance of these skills. And you often hear us talking about skills and behaviours when we're talking about apprenticeships, because it's such a core part. And it was 2017 when these new apprenticeship standards came out, as they're known. And the apprenticeship standards really switched the focus of what it is we're trying to achieve with training. So whereas before 2017, apprenticeships and training was about the input to a process. What do you want somebody to do whilst they're learning? You know, what is it you want to train somebody in? But actually the new apprenticeship standards focus more on the end goal. What is it we want somebody to be able to do at the end of any training or learning that they're undertaking? And that's why now apprenticeships are called things like assistant accountant or professional accounting technician or accounting professional. They're saying by the end of this, you should be working at that level. Two thirds of the buzzwords, two thirds of the words that they say we must develop apprentices in are about the skills and behaviours. And it's about the things like communication, proactivity, adding value, professional scepticism. And I thought that was a really great program to come out from the government, actually, a really great thing to bring to the forefront of everyone's minds. Hold on, these aren't soft skills. And I know, Ben, me and you often have a little joke because some people start talking about soft skills and I get a bit up in arms about soft skills because they're not soft skills. They are difficult, challenging skills that really, really have the potential to boost your career and really help you at work.
I think that's a really good point. And apologies, because over the years, I have personally referred to them as soft skills. But I think one of the great initiatives that you helped lead on within our apprenticeship and the program development team was to rebrand those skills. So we offer training not only in the technical AAT units or ACCA or CEMA units, but also in those skills. What name did you and the team come up as to kind of emphasize the power of those skills?
Yeah, so our skills program, First Intuition, is actually called our Impact Skills Program, because that's what we see it as. These are the skills that if you have these, they really make an impact for you at work. These skills are going to help you take all that knowledge that you've learned whilst doing your accounting qualifications, which I don't want to downplay how critical that knowledge is. It is important. We need that as the baseline. But how do we take all of that knowledge that we've built up about how to do all these accounting transactions, how to do all of this analysis? How do we implement that? How do we make an impact with that knowledge? And that's why we have our Impact Skills Program for the training.
We certainly do. And I've had the pleasure of hosting some of those sessions, and I thoroughly enjoy the Impact Skills sessions. We'll talk about what some of the mandated impact skills are in the apprenticeship standards, but I'd be interested. I can already see a few in the chat box of the live audience tonight, but if anybody wants to share what they think are some of the key skills you would emphasize. One of the parts of my session tomorrow with the youngsters around their CV and job application technique is to try and look for buzzwords, because like most parts of our lives now, AI is taking some role in recruitment. And one of the things I've been doing a bit of reading up this week on is how CVs now are initially screened maybe by a computer program. And what it might be looking for are some key buzzwords or phrases for skill sets that they are looking for that particular role. So I'd just be interested to know in the chat box, and I can see some have come through, but does anyone want to type into the chat box a key skill, a key behavior that might be very, very much important to emphasize when you're going for a job role? There we go. I can see one coming through there. I can see teamwork. Exactly. That's what I'm going to be talking about tomorrow. Honesty. I chose trustworthiness, but yeah, exactly. I can see time management coming through, critical thinking and planning, decision making. Ethics has got its part there as well. Communication, I can see in the chat box. Dedication, brilliant. These are the sorts of skills that really make you as an individual stand out. And the ones that when we, and I have got quite an active role speaking to our employers, they're the skills that employers really want to see demonstrated in their student cohorts, in their wider staff. I know our other good friend and colleague, Gareth, who most of you will have known Gareth. I mean, everybody involved with First Intuition knows Gareth, and he might even be listening to a download of the podcast. Hi, Gareth, if you're listening. Gareth talks passionately about these impact skills. and has got a very privileged position that he talks to quite senior people for our employers, and has got lots of stories where senior partners or directors of businesses have said, the big thing we now notice are these impact skills, the ability of these staff to stand up and communicate, to make decisions for themselves, to manage their time more effectively. And Amy's right, not saying you don't need to be able to do a bank rec or do a tax comp if that's part of your job role. But I can tell you now, those skills don't get noticed as much. They are not as impactful as your ability to do some of these wider skills. So I don't know, Amy, from an apprenticeship perspective, if you could give us a flavour of some of these skills that are mandated now by the government in maybe the level 2, 3, 4 or 7 apprenticeships that we run.
Yeah, there are a few skills which are kind of common across the three, actually. One of those is communication. You know, you see that at the level 3, you see that at level 4, you see that at level 7. That's automatically telling me how critical communication is. And interesting that it's across the three different levels and seeing that step up. So we've got things like communication. We've got things like adding value. That's a real key one for accountancy, is how do we add value to an organisation? How do we help them to achieve their goals? Problem solving comes up frequently and making decisions. And you can see why working as an accountant, often when you're trying to solve a problem or make a decision, well, definitely making a decision, you need some financial analysis. So it goes hand in hand with training as an accountant. We have things like leadership. And at the kind of level 3 stage, leadership means leading yourself, making sure you are productive, making sure you take a lead in your own development. Whereas when you get to the kind of level 7 stage, you're probably actually looking at managing other staff and leading other people. So very much switches to those, you know, those slightly more advanced skills, I suppose, of leading other people. So a lot of skills are common across the three. Some of them are a little bit more particular. So at the level 3 stage, there's quite a strong focus on analysis, because that is a core thing with your level 3, isn't it? You know, if I think doing the level 3 AAT, a lot of that is analysing information, doing those transactional processes and making sure you have that fantastic grounding in how accountancy works. Now, although that kind of slips away towards level 7, that's not because it's not important. It's just other things come into play. So at level 7, we start to build in more skills around things like professional scepticism, which if you've done an audit paper with us, you will definitely know the term professional scepticism. So you can see how the skills kind of change across the three levels, reflecting those job roles that you're working towards with that apprenticeship standard.
Definitely. And I think they complement the technical skills very, very well, don't they? It's one thing being able to do a budget. It's a completely different skill set being able to communicate that budget to the rest of your team. And that's where I think the two go hand in hand so well within that apprenticeship standard, that yet we need technically competent accountant and finance professionals, but we also need them with the ability to transfer that technical knowledge into the more impactful skills. I nearly said soft there, Amy, the more impactful skills that can then help them in their wider teams, their wider departments and employment roles. Something over the years I've got a bit more involved with is the practical experience requirement that goes hand in hand with some of the higher level qualifications. So if you're an ACCA or a CEMA student, or to a slightly different degree, an ICAW student, you need to not only pass your exams, but you need to complete a practical experience record that parallels with what have you used and done at work. And quite often from the PER perspective, those practical experience requirements are based more around some of these transferable impact skills than they are of any of the technical skills of the accounting and finance functions that we see. So I've just been looking, right? I wrote a blog on this last year, which is up on our FI Hub. But if I look at ACCA, some of the mandatory skills that anyone applying for ACCA membership needs to document, what have they done to do this at work? There is relationship management, There is innovation and strategy. There is governance and risk. There is leadership and management. There is professionalism. Now they are all more generic impact skills. You then go on and have to talk about, have you done budgets at work or have you done any tax at work, etc. But five mandatory ones for ACCA that students have to evidence, what have I done to do this in a workplace, are more of those wider impact skills. Seema, guys, it is very similar for you in your record of skills development as part of your application for membership pack. You need to describe how you've developed the following skills, and it lists self-management, professionalism, interacting with others, managing people, and management of organizational resources, which again are not the technical side of being a finance accountant professional, more of these transferable skill sides. Shall we pick a couple of them just to explore in a bit more detail? And this is something you can do for yourselves if you want to improve your CV credentials, your job application credentials, you're going for a promotion at work, you've got an appraisal coming up in your job role. I would encourage you to do a bit of reflection. We love a bit of reflection at First Intuition. It's something we get all of our apprentices and increasingly our staff to do, just to reflect back over, right, what sort of things have you been doing then? And what can you use as evidence for these impact skills? Which one do you think we should start with, Amy? If we're going to pick a couple, I'm conscious of time. We haven't got ages on the podcast tonight. Which one would be good to explore a bit?
I think we should start with communication, actually, because it is such a common skill across any level of, you know, any area you work in accountancy, whether you've just started or you've been working in accountancy for years. Communication is such a critical skill, and one of these core transferable skills. I think let's start there.
Communication, one of my favorite transferable skills. If I was listing one of my skills, I would say communication probably would be something I could emphasize, being a talker for a living as a tutor. I'm sure it's something that you do, but I appreciate communication is a very wide area, Amy, and it's not just about audible talking, is it? What sorts of communications would you encourage our learners to reflect on them having done or their ability to do?
I think you've hit the nail on the head. I think sometimes we think of communication, we think about writing an email or picking up the phone. And do not get me wrong, those are core skills or core aspects of communication. I remember I started out in practice myself, and I was doing a VAT return, and I had to ring the client to ask for some more information. And it was the first professional phone call I had ever made in my life. And I went to make a cup of tea, popped the loo, I made some notes. I was so nervous about this phone call. And I don't know if you had the same thing, Ben. First client meetings, when I first started out in practice, so incredibly nervous. I was thinking, what if they ask me this really complicated question? What about if they ask me some obscure VAT rule? Well, I did the phone call after a bit of coaching from a very close friend of mine who I worked with then. And I did the phone call and managed to get through it. That was a big hurdle for me. So communication obviously definitely includes those things like your telephone calls, your emails and so on and so forth. But presentations, I think working with apprentices over the years, that is something I see such an improvement on when somebody is on an apprenticeship program, is the presentation skills. It's the confidence, it's the ability to, and comfort level of standing up in front of a lot of people to present on something. But communication can also be written skills as well. And actually, the further I've got in my career, I do a lot more report writing now. I once worked at a job which was primarily report writing. And that's what we did. It was a huge amount of analysis and presenting it in a usable fashion. So firstly, I'll think about what kind of communications are you very comfortable with. So Ben, you've said you're really comfortable with speaking communication, but maybe there are areas of communication that we're not as comfortable with, and different mediums of communication. Those are things to take a look at. The other thing I would say, though, is who are we communicating with? Now, the reason I was so nervous about making this phone call is because it to some client outside of the company, outside of the firm, and I was so nervous about it. But who you communicate with and how you do that is really important. So thinking about all the stakeholders, all of those people, like your customers, your suppliers, whether you have to talk to a manager or a director or a partner in your company, do you have to call HMRC? Do you have to talk to the regulatory bodies? So those are core communication skills. And you see that throughout the accounting qualifications, don't you? You know, I think SEMA is a really nice one here, isn't it, Ben? Where the different cases, at the first one, you're communicating to your line manager, then you're communicating to maybe the financial controller. And then finally, you're, you know, as part of the board in SEMA. And so you see that kind of progression of who are you talking to and how you're doing it.
What you've done there, Amy, really, really nicely, and that's a great overview of communication. It sounds like the start of our Communication Impact Skills Workshop Day. You've done what I always encourage students to do, but not just students. Anybody could do this. If you're writing your practical experience record because you're applying for ACA or SEMA membership, if you are preparing for a job interview, and you want to kind of give practical examples to someone asking you questions, you did a really nice thing there where you took communication, that's the trigger word, but anybody can say, I am good at communicating. What you've then got to do is make it very real and personal to what is exactly your skill, your experience in that particular area. So you started by thinking about the means of communication. And so I am good at communicating is much better if you say I have demonstrated great communication skills by writing reports or being responsible for drafting emails or answering telephone calls or phoning people for information or presenting information in a meeting or a boardroom via a face-to-face presentation. And then add a bit of depth as to, well, who were you presenting to and what were you presenting? Obviously, upholding confidentiality. You don't want to go and break any confidentiality ethical requirements with clients with sensitive business information. But that's something I'm certainly going to be encouraging at this Skills Academy tomorrow, because I think certainly from that younger generation, they will all say, oh, buzzword, communication. I need to get that in somewhere. But it doesn't mean a lot unless you can then evidence it with how have I communicated and what have I communicated? And that will then really sell you as being able to demonstrate practically. And that's why it's called practical experience requirement, where you have demonstrated those skills. And for anyone in the future to think, brilliant, if they've done that, I can really see a place for them in the promotion or in the new job role that you might be going for. So I think communication is a fantastic one, Amy. Shall we pick one more? We could talk about these skills all night, and maybe we'll do another couple of podcast sessions just on picking a couple of the skills to kind of get a bit more insight into them individually. But was there another one you wanted to pick out?
I think leadership would be interesting to talk about, actually, because again, that's a common theme across the different levels of qualification, whether you do your AAT level 3 or 4, whether you do a full ACCA, SEMA, ITAW, leadership is there. Again, you see it in the professional qualifications, don't you? So, yeah, let's have a chat about leadership, I think, which is certainly something I've developed over my career. And I think you're probably about to stay the same, Ben, or something very similar.
I think leadership is the one that scares most people away. You see the word leadership and you think, oh, that means I have to be the MD, the CEO, the top leader of an organisation. And yet, when we do impact skills on this, we touch on their characteristics, their traits, but we don't expect our student base, and no one would expect everybody to have led an organisation. That's a very select group of people that have made it to that point. What you've got to do is demonstrate other ways you've shown those leadership skills. And something I know you're keen on talking about, Amy, because it's mandated in those lower level apprenticeships, is leading yourself. That's still leadership.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And you're absolutely right. Leading yourself is just one of those core skills that is so fundamental. But if you can prove, if you can show you've got that, what world of difference that makes. Things like prioritizing your own time, managing your own time, being able to influence people, being able to have an impact on people, I think comes into leadership. Like you say, by the time you go move up the levels, yeah, you might be supervising people. But a really great comment in the chat box, actually, that we're talking about leadership, not management. And leadership is about having that ability to influence people. People want to follow what you're saying. People want to follow what you're doing. And you don't need to be a manager to have that skill. So, yeah, I think leadership is a really interesting one. And you can really see how that one progresses through your accounting career.
And a lot of those leadership traits that you've said there can be demonstrated just by saying, I have been self-studying a professional qualification. If you're doing an AAT qualification off your own back, you're listening to this as a self-funding student, actually, you're showing lots of self-leadership because you are not only financing it yourself, but you are then leading yourself in your own time. You are committing to it and showing all those positive signs of leadership, even though you're not actually leading other people at this stage. It's those indicators that people are really, really looking for, aren't they? And as we say, I mean, as you progress through, we are then thinking about beyond that, you will get the opportunity to lead other people. You will be seen by setting that good example. I always think that's a great trait of a leader, isn't it? Being somebody that people are willing to follow because they've set a good example by their own actions and behaviours. So it's about broadening your mindset there, really, and not pigeonholing leadership as saying, I've got to be president of the USA or I've got to be the prime minister to show leadership skills. It's much broader than that. Fantastic one to pick, Amy. And that's one certainly in the practical experience requirements for ACCA and CIMA. Leadership is there and is expected, something that people can demonstrate practically how they have shown those signs and traits of a leader. Like always, we get pushed for time on these. And I'm conscious we're going to have to start wrapping things up for this evening. My final thought before I give you a final thought slot, Amy, is to just encourage people to think about what they do. This is something that's very hard to do if you want to go back over the last 12 months and think, right, how have I demonstrated any of these skills? My advice to students is kind of to make a note of them as you are doing them. Very helpful for your PER. I know you don't submit it until the end, but if you can start documenting stuff now, it's much easier to have it in one place when you come to do your final written write-up submission. We encourage our apprentices to do this, Amy, don't we, with regards to doing regular development tasks and having those there, building up a bit of a portfolio of examples of how we've demonstrated those skills. If you keep a diary, great, make a note of it. If not, buy yourself a little exercise book and write some of these key skills at the top of each page. Motivation, teamwork, leadership, communication. And then every time you do something, just think, I'm quickly just going to put a reference to that in my little notebook. Before you know it, you go back in 6 months' time, you will have lots of examples. Very useful if you're preparing for an appraisal at work or if you're going for an interview and you want some tangible examples of what you have done. Amy, what's your final thought on guys and transferable skills?
Me, I'd say this is a harder area to know where to improve. I'd say it's much more challenging to know this is something that I should be doing better and so on. You can kind of, you know, with your accounting qualification, because you've either passed the exam or you haven't. So it's a bit more tick box, you know, have I done it? Yes or no. And obviously then there's CPD at work. But like with a lot of things, I would so strongly encourage reflection here. Like Ben saying, jot something down in the book when you've done it, but then take a step back and say, but how did that go? What actually happened? So what was the impact of that? And how could I improve that next time? Our apprenticeships didn't exist when I did my training, but I would have snapped someone's hand off to go and do an apprenticeship. I have had very good fortune, and a lot of us do, to have worked with so many fantastic people. You know, learn from those people about these skills. They're, you know, you really pick a lot up from the people you work with. So I would say, reflect on what you can and what you can do and what you can improve on, and really start to, you know, talk to other people at work about your skills and start to observe them more. Think about mentoring, think about coaching at work, because I do think it's overall more challenging to identify where you need to improve. So reflection really helps with that.
Thank you for your closing thoughts, Amy. Something for us all to go and take away. I think we can all look to improve in this area, me included. I don't think we're ever too young to think about these skills, to think about where our strengths lie, but where we maybe need to work and develop a bit more, both on a personal level, but also within our job role level. I'm going to say thank you for anybody in the live audience that's joined us this evening. It's always great to have you on board. Thank you also to the download listeners for the podcast. I am amazed again when I've just checked the stats. We're now over 8,400 downloads for the podcast. So continue to download, continue to share, subscribe to it. I will look forward to seeing you at a future session and speaking to you then. But take care of yourselves and good luck with your study, your careers. Thank you very much.